Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me, as is our habit, the sermon title for today? Wait till your father comes home. Betty is just so sweet and nice. You weren't growling like I hope you would. Wait till your father comes home. Our text is from Isaiah 64. Listen to these words. The prophet says, O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. O Lord, you are our Father. Be not so terribly angry. Remember not our sins forever. Please follow the sermon outline provided for you in your handout as we consider our theme, Wait Till Your Father Comes Home. One of the kinds of TV programs that many people enjoy are called sitcoms, situational comedies. They usually are comical shows for about 30 minutes about the ups and downs in a family's life. And in our household, there are two particular sitcoms that my dear wife Beverly just really enjoys. And I love when I'm upstairs doing something else and she's downstairs watching these programs she's recorded and she's laughing and she's laughing and she's laughing. It does my heart good for her to laugh in such a way. And I remember from years ago when I was quite younger, when, believe it or not, young people, TVs were just in black and white. There was no remote control. You actually had to get up and turn one of the three channels. But we had, believe it or not, Brittany, we had sitcoms then too. And even though times have really changed with TVs, the sitcoms haven't changed much at all. Because a common word you would hear in almost every one of these shows was mother talking to children, something I'm sure little Ron Harrington never heard his mama say, you just wait till your father comes home. Wait till your father comes home. How many of you remember hearing those words as you were growing up? And maybe some of our young folks are still hearing those words, wait till your father comes home. Now, what events in your lives do these things bring to mind? We are now in the season of Advent, and Advent means coming. Advent has two focuses: the first coming of our Lord Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem, the second coming of our Lord Jesus as King of Kings at the end of the world on Judgment Day. And very often, we only think of Advent in connection with the first coming at Christmas. We can't wait for Christmas. We join the prophet Isaiah as he says in 64 verse 1, O Lord, rend the heavens and come down. However, as we read Holy Scripture, we discover that both the Old and the New Testaments connect Advent more especially to Judgment Day. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we read these words, For you know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, for the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the judgment and trumpet of God. And the Old Testament prophet Amos said this, Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. It will be darkness and not light. It will be darkness with no brightness in it. In the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 13, Wail and weep and mourn, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy all sinners in it. Advent means God is coming. A holy God is coming, and we are sinners. In today's sermon text from Isaiah 64, the prophet pleads and says this to God in verse 5. Behold, you are angry. We have sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and Lord, shall we be saved? And here's some more bad news for us. Our so-called good deeds cannot prevent God's judgment. In verse 6, Isaiah says these famous words, We have all become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Some scholars suggest that the polluted or dirty garments Isaiah is speaking of refer to women's monthly menstrual garments. These garments made a person unclean and unable to enter into God's presence in the temple. Just so, Isaiah says, our so-called righteous deeds do not work in getting us right in the sight of a holy God. We are sinners. Our sin brings us destruction. Verse 6 in Isaiah 64 goes on to say this: we all fade like a leaf, and our sins, like the wind, take us away. Are you enjoying Advent yet? This is only half the story. Are you looking forward to the second coming? Oh, you wait till your Father comes home. But hold it. This is only half the story. This is what we Lutherans call the law. What about the gospel? What about the good news? Well, we can, because of Jesus our Savior, say and believe, Advent, God is coming. Hooray! God is just and must deal with sin. But the Bible also declares so loudly and clearly, God is also our loving Father. We can wait for our Lord's second coming with joy. Oh, I can't wait till our Father comes home. Listen to what Isaiah says in verses 8 and 9 of 64 of Isaiah. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are the works of your hands. Remember not our sins forever. Behold, we are your people. God is our loving Father. He is the potter. We are his clay. We belong to him. We are the works of his hands. He has personally created us. We are precious to him. He is our Father who loves us and so sorry for our sins. We humbly go to our Father for forgiveness. And let me ask you, what is the assurance of our forgiveness? How can you, sinners, and me, sinner, be sure that we have the forgiveness of sins? Our assurance is simply this: Advent announces the coming of our God in the flesh. In John 1, verse 14, we read this wonderful passage. This single verse is the Gospel of John's entire commentary on Christmas. Luke takes a couple of chapters. Matthew takes a couple of chapters. John does it in one verse, John 1, 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is a title for Jesus. This single verse is John's entire commentary on Christmas. The eternal Word of God, Jesus our Savior, came to our earth, became a human being, was born among us. We call this truth of Scripture the incarnation. Incarnation means to become flesh. So when you go to the store and buy a can of chili, your chili can read chili con carne, which means, Alvaro would tell us from Peru, it means beans with meat. Carne means meat. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus, the eternal Word of God, became meat, became flesh, became a human being. And he did this to become our Savior. This loving God in the flesh, did you catch it? God in the flesh came to us at Bethlehem's manger. What do you see there when you look into that manger, that feed trough? What do you see? Not just a cute little baby boy. You see God in the flesh who's come for you. Look upon Calvary's cross. What do you see there? You don't just see a victim of unjust punishment. You see God in the flesh, paying for your sins and for mine. Look inside that empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. What do you see? He's not there. He's risen. He's risen indeed. He is God in the flesh, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the devil, and all that he has done for you. When judgment day looks, who is it that's coming? coming to take you and all who love him to be with them forever in heaven. It is Jesus, God in the flesh, the King of kings, the Judge of judges. My friends, just wait. Just wait till your Father comes home. Well, in this sermon with a story from my own childhood, it was close to Christmas like it is right about now. I was in grade school, probably not quite 10 years old. My parents were out of the house doing shopping. My older teenage sister was supposed to be watching with me, but she was busy with friends, and so I could do whatever I wanted. Never a good idea. We had not yet set up the Christmas tree, and I wanted some Christmas decorations. I had time on my hands. I had no adult supervision. I had glue, paper, scissors, and crayons. I was a very creative little boy. You can see where this is heading. So I drew and colored and cut out some amazing Christmas decorations. A fully decorated Christmas tree. Lots of wrapped presents with my name on the presents. A Santa Claus, a baby Jesus. I wanted to cover all the bases. And more presents, and our family standing around the tree. And then, after I had drawn and cut out and colored all these works of art, I did the only reasonable thing I could think of. I glued them to the front room wall. My mother came home first. She said a number of things. I can't repeat them all. But one thing she did was, she said, "You just wait till your Father comes home." I don't think it was to congratulate me on my wonderful creativity. But when Dad came home, he completely surprised me. He laughed. I was there quaking in my boots with fear, and my dad was laughing. When my dad laughed, his belly shook. My dad stood about 5'2" and weighed about 240 pounds. When Dad laughed, he shook. I did have to clean up what I had done. Dried glue and paper don't come easily off walls, especially when they now need to be repainted. But my Father forgave me, and he helped me make things right. Just wait till your Father comes home. Indeed. Advent tells us that our Lord is coming. The prophet Isaiah said, "O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down." He is coming as the babe in the manger, but especially as the King at Judgment Day. He is holy and takes seriously our sin, but he is especially merciful and forgiving for those who come to him in repentance. So it is only fitting that on this, the first day of Advent, the first day of the new church year, we say together the final prayer in the Bible in Revelation 22:20, which says, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Would you join me? "Come, Lord Jesus, come." We can't wait till our Lord comes home to bring us home with him forever. Amen.